ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 18 वर्स 30। स तु ब्रह्म ऋषेर अंसे गतासं उरगं रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरं आगतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेर अंशे गतासुम उरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागता। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुम उरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागता। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुम उरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागतः। निधाय पुरमागत सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेर्वंसे गतासुमुरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागत सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेर्वंसे गतासुम उरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुम उरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुमुरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुमुरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरमागतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुमुरगम रुषा विनिर्गच्छन् धनुष्कोट्या निधाय पुरम् आगतः। सतु ब्रह्म ऋषेरंसे गतासुम उरगम रुषा vinirgacchan dhanushkotya vidhaya puram agataha. Saha, the king. Tu, however, Brahma Rishi, of the Brahmana sage. Amse, on the shoulder. Gata Asum, lifeless. Uragam, snake. Rusha, in anger. Vinir Gachan, while leaving. Dhanu Kotya, with the front of the bow. Nidhaya, by placing it. Puram, palace. Agataha, returned. Translation and purport by Sri Vangarishla Prabhupada. While leaving, the king, being so insulted, picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace. Report. The king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. By the will of the Lord, the king, while going away, found a dead snake in front of him, and he thought that the sage, who had coldly received him, thus might be coldly rewarded by being offered a garland of a dead snake. In the ordinary course of dealing, this was not very unnatural. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit's dealing with a Brahmana sage, this was certainly unprecedented. It so happened by the will of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you all for being assembled here. My pranams, Maharaj. So, actually it's a great, Srila Prabhupada says that unless one is favored by the Supreme Lord Krishna, one is not able to sit and study Bhagavatam. So it needs special favor by the Lord that we are able to sit, study, have the time, and understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, life can have so many distractions, so many responsibilities, so many other situations, but it is our privilege that we are able to come together and study the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this specific verse today, it's basically a continuation of the previous verses. If you look at this specific scenario here, Parikshit Maharaj is, he's thirsty, he's tired, exhausted, and he goes to the this ashram of Shamika Rishi, and he's in trance, meditation. Parikshit Maharaj looks for any help, he needs water. And then in the previous verse we said how he was not received, he was not received well. And so in this verse, what we are here for the reading is that he gets angry, and because of this insult, and then he finds a snake. Strange enough, by special arrangement, there's a dead snake lying around. He, with his bow, he picks up the snake, and then he places it around the shoulder of the sage, and then he goes back to his palace. So this way we find that Srila Prabhupada explains that this is by the will of the Lord. Now there have been many other cases like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many past times we hear or we come across such scenarios where such special arrangement is made in a devotee's life. There is look at a scenario, let's say when a mother sees a baby, for example, we have a small child playing with a teddy bear. All of you have some experiences of and the child isn't having fun, playing with the teddy bear and having his or her own good time. The mother comes in, and the mother, of course, nowadays children have not only teddy bears, they also have gadgets, electronics, iPhones and iPads and so on. So suppose the mother comes in, and if the mother comes and snatches the toy away, teddy bear away, and throws it out, how will the child react? The child depends on the child's, each child is different. One child may just cry simply, "Oh, my mother took it away." Some child may throw tantrums, "Oh yeah, how can you do that to me?" And some child may be angry, "Okay, I'll not talk with you." There's so many ways one can react. And after that, the mother starts playing with the child. The child may be little pick it up with time, and the mother picks the child and throws him in the air, makes some funny faces, and the child is very happy. So we see how the child was attached to the teddy bear, playing with it. The mother throws it away, the child is not happy, he's sad and crying. And the mother picks up the child and plays with the child, and the child is happy. So we see how the experience changes from frustration or sad to being happy. Similarly, in our life, we may have multiple such attachments. In the Bhagavatam, we have example of Srila Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had all the planets in his control. In fact, he defeated Indra and took charge of the Indra Loka. And then we find how Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu comes as Vamanadeva, and he asks for 3 steps of land, and then he conquers him, takes away the Indra Loka, and gives it back to Indra. Bali Maharaj was maybe initially resentful, but then what he gets is the Lord's personal association forever. The Lord says that I will be your doorkeeper. So Bali Maharaj's teddy bear was the whole world, and he loses that, and what he gets is the Lord's permanent association. We also have example of King Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was a great king, great devotee, and then we also find in his life a special arrangement where he happens to see Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva sitting together, and he passes a comment, and then he is cursed by Mother Parvati, and he becomes a demon, Vritrasur, and then he perfects his life and again goes back to Godhead. So again another case of suddenly out of nowhere, Chitraketu is cursed and he has to go through the situation. But the outcome, ultimate outcome, that he goes back to Godhead. Then we have also have the story of Billu Mangal Thakur. Billu Mangal Thakur was attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. So he used to frequent her every day. He couldn't basically live without her. And then again, there is a special arrangement by the will of the Lord. Chintamani, says a lot of harsh words to him. And says, if you are spending so much time with me, if you put so much energy, you can, get Krishna. So again, with these harsh words, his heart is pierced. A lot of very painful experience. But the outcome, he becomes a great sage, the great Billu Mangal Thakur. So we find that we may have our own attachments and we may see how things play in our life. And typically we get attachment because of experiences. In fact, recently, this Wednesday, I had my oath ceremony as a US citizen. So before that, and anybody has immigration in the US here? So as immigrants to the US, we have some specific experiences. So we used to have a green card. So a green card basically helps you to work. So when they gave me this this oath ceremony, they took away the green card. So for the last 6 years, the green card was with me. So I was really attached, emotionally attached to it, because that helped me to change my job, can do more flexibility, I can come back to US anytime, going out of country. So in the small period of 6 months, in 6 years, I was so much attached to the green card, the moment I gave the green card, I felt like something I have given away, something very valuable. So very small experience, but we see how in our life, we build our attachments. But then when they go, okay, yes, you will get citizenship, then yes, there is something to look for. Similarly, when we have hope that Krishna is doing in our lives, whatever is happening, and there is a hope that yes, something is upcoming, then it is easy to go through the experience which may be painful or which may be frustrating. There's one more experience I will share with you in this ceremony on Wednesday. So, typically, when we look at, as immigrants, when you should look at immigration officers, it is always with doubt and fear. Because when we come from India or outside to come to the US at the port of entry, they will look at your visa or your passport and they will say, okay, they may decide or not decide to give you entry. So, they're always fearful. Whereas this Wednesday in the ceremony, they're very nice. Oh, please come. There is a completely different experience of the same immigration officers that we used to have earlier, but now, yes, now that you are a lawful citizen, you have a totally different experience. Similarly, the Lord's energy, which is material in nature, primarily for conditioned souls, we find it is disturbing, it is harassing, and it is so much of troubling. However, when one takes to devotional service, then the same energy turns divine. And we find Krishna's energy, we experience the divine form of Krishna's energy. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. So an easy way of turning our experiences from frustration to ecstasy is basically to take shelter of Krishna's higher energy and experience that bliss. So here Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada explains that in Parikshit Maharaj's case, it was not that there was any attachment to kingdom, even though Parikshit Maharaj says that yes, I am a king and I am attached to Vishaya and so on. But Prabhupada clearly says that it was just the will of the Lord. It was a special arrangement of the Lord because Lord wanted Parikshit Maharaj to come back and also the Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken and also to glorify Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Parikshit Maharaj was not an ordinary king. He was, if you look at the previous verses of the same chapter, it says that Parikshit Maharaj was not envious of Kali. He was actually a realist. Means he knew that Kali Yuga had so many faults. We say that Manda, Sumanda, Matayo. So we say about Kali Yuga, it is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So that's all true. But in addition to all that, or besides his understanding, Parikshit Maharaj also knew that in Kali Yuga, one's thoughts are not punished. if somebody has negative thoughts, then there is no punishment. But in fact, on the contrary, if you have positive thoughts, actually you get rewarded. That's a special benediction of Kali Yuga. And also, in Kali Yuga, by the chanting of the holy names, by Sankirtan Yajna, one can actually progress much faster than in previous yugas. And also in Kali, the Srimad Bhagavatam was to be spoken, and hence Parikshit Maharaj's departure, and that was the onset of speaking or arrival of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam actually takes care of, removes all this other process and reinforces or emphasizes the process of bhakti. Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha, Vasudeva para Yoga. So this way, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that worshipping Lord Vasudeva is the highest perfection of life. In this same chapter, we hear how the sages who were assembled there, they were complaining that because of the fire sacrifice, their eyes were burning because of smoke and they spent so much time. But the moment Sutta Goswami arrives on the scene and he starts speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he said that, oh, it's only 17 chapters only so far, but only by this small duration, we are feeling so much enlivened and so much attracted by the glories of the Supreme, that please, O Sutta Goswami, you please continue. So that way they are encouraging Sutta Goswami. So they were saying that we were unnecessarily wasting our time in this fire sacrifice, where actually our eyes were burning, there is so much of smoke and there is no benefit. But now that you have come to the scene and you are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, you are able to understand the glories of Lord Vasudeva, Lord Hari, and hence please continue, please keep on doing that. And also, Parikshit Maharaj was also explaining separately, he was a realist. Realist means he actually was not an idealist, he was more like how to make sense of his situation and act realistically. Srila Prabhupada was also such a realist. When Prabhupada came to America, to the Western world, he didn't keep his set ideas that, yes, in India it was done this way, so I must do this way. No. He changed a lot of things. He built temples without gopurams. For an ordinary person from, like a saint from India, they think temple means it should have a gopuram, it should have the exact architecture. But Prabhupada was very liberal. He knew that being a realist for success for Krishna is more important than being an idealist. So the same quality we see in Prabhupada as Parikshit Maharaj's quality given in this specific chapter. Further, it is also explained that Maharaj Parikshit took care of his citizens just like a tiger protects his, protects the careless, animals. So we find that even Prabhupada had the same mood. He took care of all of us against Kali by giving us the morning program and the Bhagavatam and so many things. In fact, one of the guests who were here, he was trying to glorify Prabhupada by saying that he was from the Lingayat Sampradaya, the Lingayat caste. So he said that they also have sannyasis, but they cannot survive in the cities. They have to practice bhakti yoga or the renunciation only in some cave or very remote place. They say it is unimaginable that your sannyasis, Prabhupada's followers, whether sannyasis or brahmacharis, they are able to live in cities like New York or Los Angeles and still practice bhakti such a high order. So that is again Prabhupada's mercy, that how he, like a tiger, he gave us protection against the onslaught of Kali. In this verse also, Srila Prabhupada explains the word tit for tat. He says that looking at the specific, the dealings of Parikshit Maharaj taking up the snake and putting in the sage, it looks like an action of tit for tat, that you did not receive me properly. So this is the response. It was a cold reception and a cold treatment. So now the tit for, of course, in this specific case, it is not like that. We know it is a special arrangement. But we should also know that how does this dealing work. In the Srimad Bhagavatam again, we have an extreme examples how a person could respond to an insulting behavior. There is an example of, there is a story of, in the 9th canto, there is a pastime of King Yayati. So, Sarmishtha was the daughter of King Vrishaparva, and his guru, Sukracharya, and his daughter was Devayani. So there is an episode where Sarmishtha, Devayani, and many other girlfriends, they are all sporting outside near a well. And there, Lord Shiva happens to pass by. And these girls are actually not having clothes because they are in the water. And then Sarmishtha, by mistake, in hurry, she actually wears Devayani's clothes. Now, Devayani is, so this is an example of a stimulus. In the response, Devayani is very mad at her. He says, how dare you can do this? How can you wear my clothes? And then, she chastises her very, wildly or violently. And then again, it's again some tit for tat. So this is first a response, stimulus, then response. And then Sarmishtha is also mad at her. And then she picks her and throws her in the well to Devayani. So we find this exchange of how one small episode, one mistake, and then there is use of harsh words, rebuking, violent language, and there's violent action. And in complete contrast, we look at so this is one extreme example we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, how one can respond to criticism or to insult. Let's look at another response, completely stark, completely different. In the 4th canto, where we hear of Lord Shiva in the assembly of Daksha Prajapati. Now, Daksha Prajapati, daughter is Sati, and she is married to Lord Shiva. So that way, in the relationship, he is the father-in-law. Lord Shiva, the father, is the son-in-law, and Daksha Prajapati is the father-in-law. But in terms of, in their real position, we know that Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. He is Mahadev, and he is in a much exalted position. So we find that this is a great assembly of all the heavenly denizens, the sages. It's a very nice assembly. And then here, everybody is sitting together, being ready for the sacrifice. And it includes Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. All of them are seated, and then suddenly enters Daksha Prajapati. When he enters, because of his prowess and his body is very effulgent. So naturally, all the assembled, the guests there, everyone gets up to pay respect, except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva, in fact, this is coming in a connection between Vidura and Maitreya. So Vidura is trying to explain Lord Shiva's qualities. The words he uses are Charachara Gurum. The Lord Shiva is the guru or the spiritual master of Chara Achara, of moving and non-moving, basically everybody. Nirvairam. Nirvairam means Lord Shiva has no enemy. He is a great personality. Then another verse is, another quality is Shanta Vigraham. He is completely peaceful. You can look at him, you can always feel basically peaceful. And finally, he is Atmaramam. He is satisfied in himself. So these are the qualities of Lord Shiva. So he's sitting there peacefully. But when Daksha sees Lord Shiva sitting there, does he list all his qualities? No. On the other hand, he is mad. He is mad with anger. He starts cursing Lord Shiva on the spot. In the front of all these assembled people, guests, he starts abusing Lord Shiva. He starts saying that, Lord Shiva, I am his father-in-law. He doesn't show me any respect. By mistake, I gave my daughter to him, got married to him. Because Lord Brahma said, I gave him. Otherwise, I didn't have any intention of giving my daughter to him. He says that Lord Shiva, his eyes are like monkeys. And whereas my daughter is like a deer. And she is suffering with him. He also says that Lord Shiva is always in the crematorium. His body is full of ashes. So basically he tells so many things which ordinarily none of us can actually hear it, neither alone nor in a big assembly. In front of everybody important in this whole planet, we find that these words are being spoken to Lord Shiva. But because we know that Lord Shiva has all these qualities, he just keeps quiet. So this is another response we see. Completely different response. So why do we see... So we have two extremes. One extreme is of Sarmishtha and Devyani, how the response to an insult. And the other extreme we saw of Lord Shiva. In fact, he was insulted with so many people with such harsh language. So now Lord Shiva is connected to at higher level. And hence, because he is connected to the Supreme Lord in his heart, he was able to tolerate this. He didn't go through the natural reaction of responding in a tit-for-tat fashion. In fact, when we fly in aeroplanes, they say, right, try to switch off your mobile so that, so basically, in order to go ahead to the higher plane, we must disconnect from our lower modes. The easily we can disconnect from the lower modes, the more we can survive or we can go to the higher levels. So we find that the qualities of tit for tat is, we see experience tit for tat in this world, which is commonly seen, but being practicing devotees, we find that how our reaction could be different. And in this specific case, in Parishit Maharaj's case, it may look tit for tat, but actually it is a special arrangement of the Lord so that the Srimad Bhagavata can be spoken and so that Parishit Maharaj's glories can be known by the whole world. And also, as long as Maharaj Parikshit was here, Kali Yuga cannot progress. So Maharaj Parikshit had to leave the scene so that Kali Yuga can take its own due course. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. It seems that your statement about tit for tat, the example you gave, especially for Devayami and Sharmishtha, is not really tit for tat. It's escalation, which is the problem in Kali Yuga. In previous yugas, if somebody curses you, you curse them back. Somebody slaps you, you slap them back. But in Kali Yuga, everything is escalation. If somebody curses you, you punch them. If they punch you, you stab them. If they stab you, you shoot them. It just keeps escalating. And that's why there's always so much tension in this world, because everything is always escalating. It's not really tit for tat. Tit for tat is the same. Mm-hmm. You treat me coldly, I treat you coldly. You slap me, I slap you back. But in Kali Yuga, just the opposite. Everything escalates. If somebody steps on your toe, you kick them. You don't step on their toe or demand an apology. You immediately respond by kicking like that. So it's always escalating. And that's why there's so much tension in Kali Yuga, because everybody wants to escalate at every moment.
Yes, thank you, Rosie. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Couldn't understand a few things.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you were mentioning about the smoke. Mm-hmm. It came from the sacrifice. Right. Were you saying that the smoke went away when the Sutta Goswami came into the assembly, or they, what was?
Okay. No, so what I was saying is here is that the sages.
Talk slowly.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
Because that's.
So the sages were doing the sacrifice in order to please Lord Vishnu.
Okay.
And a fire sacrifice is one method of pleasing Lord Vishnu. And hence they were doing that. But in the process of the fire sacrifice, yajna, we find that there is smoke and there is fire.
Yeah.
And hence it is disturbing. In fact, when we were growing up, when we were small and kids, we used to have the sacrifices. And then as kids, you know, we used to get disturbed by the sacrifices. So much of smoke in the, we used to have tears coming out of our eyes. And then we were told by the elders, oh, that is good for you. Let it breathe in, let it breathe in, because Lord Vishnu is entering your body. That was the message given to us. So here, the sages are saying that we were engaged in the sacrifice, and hence we were disturbed by the smoke and the fire. But now that Sutta Goswami, you have come, and you are speaking about Srimad about the glories of Lord Hari, Lord Vasudeva. This is so more pleasing, and it is not as, you know, painful as the fire smoke. So the Lord's glories. So basically the point is that sharing Srimad Bhagavatam is a more effective and easier and positive method of worshipping the Lord than the fire sacrifice.
Very sweet. Okay, nice. Now the other thing was, you said something about your green card.
Okay.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, so I was saying that how one can get attached to anything over a small period of time. So my experience was that, you know, we used to have like a green card as immigrants that helped us, you know, be, you know, mobile in this country. So when I had this oath ceremony on Wednesday, the green card was taken away from us. I had to surrender it. And hence I was experiencing how I was attached to the green card because of having it for 6 years and because of the benefits it gave me. But the benefits it gave me of having the green card. So, but the hope that yes, I will get something by giving it away was helping get over the feeling of disappointment. So similarly, when the Lord takes something away from us, if we have the hope that yes, we will ultimately get the Lord's shelter, that will help us get over the feeling of disappointment or resentment that we may experience when something gets taken away from us. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Yeah, thank you. So Maharaj Parikshit and Arjuna, they're special devotees. So, you know, Krishna is, as mentioned in the purport, Krishna is, it's the will of the Lord what happened to them. It was the will of the Lord that Arjuna was in illusion. It was the will of the Lord what happened, how Maharaj Parikshit responded. So what about us? What about like regular old rank and file devotees? So when something happens to us, are we supposed to take that as the will of the Lord? Or are we supposed to take that as our karma? In the purport, it mentioned that Jiva Goswami and Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, they were both of the opinion that it wasn't Maharaj Prickett's karma, but it was the will of the Lord.
Right, right.
And then there's a second part to this question. Where's the question of karma because for a devotee? Because, you know, right there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I'll protect you from all sinful reaction. So isn't a devotee off the platform of karma? When, you know, when somebody surrenders to Krishna, aren't they off the platform of karma? And if so, why is it even being mentioned in the purport that it wasn't Maharaj Prickett's karma?
Right, right. So this is, I think, this is a very common, question we get. No, the question was, in this specific case, you know, Jiva Goswami and other acharyas comment clearly that this was not Parikshit Maharaj's karma, right? That it was, but then as a devotee, very the question of even having karma. So the question is, does a devotee go through karma? And yes, if yes, then when do we distinguish between whether it is karma or it is will of the Lord? So that is kind of the distinction. So if we come that, if we say that devotee has no karma, then no need of worrying. Everything is by will of the Lord. So no question, no discussion, no debate. But if you find that there is two options, which one do we choose to prefer to think? Whether it is karma or it is will of the Lord. And how do we understand which one it is? And hence process our response accordingly. So we understand that whenever a person takes devotional service, then naturally, okay, the karma, role of karma reduces and the person takes more and more shelter of the higher nature of the Lord, the Devim Prakritim. A conditioned soul is always under the laws of karma. Now, as we are practicing devotees, we are not as elevated as Maharaj Parikshit, but we are definitely not in a stage of pure conditioning. We are definitely going through a stage of anartha nivritti and progressing. So the way we should understand what happens in our life is, whether it is through karma or it is the Lord's mercy, if we can take that opportunity to advance towards the Lord, then actually it is auspicious for us. So let's say I come across a situation because of my previous karma. I go through something difficulty, either I lose a job or I have a problem in the relationship, something. But every opportunity or every situation, one can look at as opportunity to increase one's attraction or one's propensity for devotional service as opportunity. So if we can look at the situation, regardless of what it is, as let me see how I can use this to further my devotional service, then even if it is karma, we can turn it upside down and take it as the mercy of the Lord. So regardless of what the source is, since we don't have the judgment to be able to really clearly identify what it is, but if our response is that we go towards, let us take it towards the Lord, then actually it can be turned into a mercy regardless of what is the origin. Is that okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharashtra Bhagavatam ki jai.